Sabrina, have a seat. We need to talk.
Nothing good ever comes of talking.
You see, when a witch kisses a mortal for the first time, the mortal turns into a frog.
A frog? Look, if you guys don't like Harvey...
No, we like him. Otherwise, we wouldn't be warning you.
So if I kiss Harvey, he turns into a frog. It sounds like something out of a fairy tale.
Well, they had to get it from somewhere.
You think they make that stuff up? It's the way you love me. It's a feeling like this. It's centrifugal motion. It's perpetual bliss. It's that pivotal moment. It's impossible. This kiss.
Unstoppable. Ladies, gentlemen, Chris Elliott, welcome to episode number 17 of Sabrina's Witch Trials. This is the show where each episode we venture back into the mid-1990s to rewatch, review, and reminisce all about everyone's favorite Friday night spellfest, Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I'm Alex Adouju, and it's episode number 17, folks, so the quality that you've grown accustomed to is just gone. I'm phoning it in more ways than one, and this episode might just be 5 minutes. I might just give you a number and then we're out of here. No, in reality, it's going to be just the same quality that you've grown accustomed to, that being mediocre. But along with me, of course, I always like to take a friend along to watch an episode of Sabrina Teenage Witch. This episode, I've brought on maybe the MVP of Sabrina's Witch Trials, the most valuable player for those who aren't sports inclined. Phil Adouju is back. Phil, welcome aboard.
Hello, Al. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Speaking of mediocre, thank you for having me back.
Oh, stop it. You know you're one of everyone's two favorite guests on Sabrina's Witch Trials.
Yes. We number in the, you know, handfuls of co-hosts, so I appreciate you having me back.
I think in total, I've had 5 people.
Exactly.
So you're on the hand either
one
way.
Hand.
But to be fair, I'm probably like number 6.
There you go.
I like all his guests. I just don't like his nasal voice. Fuck you, whoever that is. All right. Anyway, Phil, episode number 17. Interestingly, First Kiss is the title of this episode, and actually first premiered on Valentine's Day 1997. Coincidentally, we just passed Valentine's Day. So how was your lover's day, Phil?
Well, Valentine's Day for me was good. Unfortunately, my wife worked, so we really didn't have much of a Valentine's Day. But ironically, her birthday is actually the day after Valentine's Day. So we kind of
had
a good birthday for her. Excuse me.
I mean, that must be like doubly irritating. Not irritating, but stressful, I guess, because you have to bring the heat on Valentine's Day and on her birthday. I'm not saying this in a sexual way. I mean, in terms of gifts. Although you probably do have to bring the heat in more ways than one. That must be just a pain to like have to plan out 2 special days.
Well, the good thing about it is that she's not a really big fan of Valentine's Day. So she usually lets me get away with that. So it's good to, though, know. It's a great way of basically knowing when her birthday is and not forgetting her birthday. Because like, oh, it's Valentine's Day. Oh, I better have a plan for tomorrow because tomorrow is her birthday.
When hearts start popping up all over town, Phil starts getting a little nervous.
There you go.
That is interesting, though, because like most of the people I know who are in like long-term relationships, they always say that Valentine's Day is never a big like day for them.
It's, I don't want to get this into like, you know, love lines, but it's always good to show that they're appreciated throughout the year, and I think just trying to phone it in on a Hallmark holiday like Valentine's Day, it's not worth it.
I agree with that. And me being a single fellow, I spent my Valentine's Day on Reddit. Phil, now being the MVP of Sabrina's Witch Trials, as you are,
MVP.
not only noted child of the 80s, but also Sabrina's Witch Trials MVP, you know that on each episode of the Witch Trials, I ask my guests to describe the episode of Sabrina Teenage Witch we watched in a set number of words. This episode, I'm going to ask you to describe First Kiss in 9 words.
Al, I am prepared for you today.
I love it.
So, are you ready?
I totally am.
Sabrina tells everyone Harvey is her one true love.
Perfect. Nailed it. First time. I'm super impressed.
Thanks, there was, Al.
There was no editing at all.
None.
That is very accurate, however. An episode based in Amore. That's right. I know many languages. Episode 17, as I said. First Kiss first aired February 14th, 1997. We open in the Spellman kitchen, where Hilda is looking for caramels in a big Valentine's Day candy box with Salem's help. When his incredible sense of smell leads her to a cherry cordial, he suggests she get a dog. Sabrina soon enters, as she's having trouble writing Harvey's gigantic Valentine, so Salem gives her the sage-like wisdom of writing, "You rock my world," as guys love to hear that.
I need help. I don't know what to put on Harvey's Valentine.
What do you have so far?
Dear Harvey. But I don't like it.
I can help you with this one. Put "You rock my world." Guys love that.
Zelda soon enters, asking who got the chocolates, only to find out that she did, from Dirk the mailman. Hilda complains about the lack of caramels, asking if a particular piece looks like one, leading Sabrina to try it, and sadly discover that it's marzipan, which is actually fucking gross. An irritated Zelda then suggests that they just use their fucking magic, in turn casting a spell to levitate the caramels out of the box, but Hilda just bemoans the fact that she's taken all the mystery out of life, as we go to the opening theme.
Quit touching them. Use a spell. There. That was easy.
Yeah. Takes all the mystery out of life.
Phil, this cold open here. First things first. Do you like caramel? Because I really don't.
See, I do like caramel. And a couple of things that I wrote. We have the age-old dilemma of trying to find the good chocolates in the heart, in the chocolate heart. Box. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many of these you've gotten throughout the years.
Phil, you know exactly shared. How many of these I've gotten out throughout the years. Okay?
Well, I know Mom used to give them to us when we were kids, you know, used to give us a small one. And it was always like one good chocolate and the rest were garbage.
That's true. And the thing is, like, we would get the cheap ones where they never bothered to actually print which ones were in there. Like,
Yeah, exactly.
We weren't getting the good Russell Stovens one. We were getting like Rite Aid brand chocolates.
Exactly. And it had like four pieces of chocolate in it. And you're like, oh, okay, let me try to eat. And then you'd eat like three and that was totally disgusting. And you're like, I can't eat it anymore. And of course, you just threw away the good one.
It should also be said that cherry cordials are fucking disgusting.
Ugh. Yeah, especially with the liquor inside. Ugh, that's so gross. Yeah.
Chocolate shouldn't have liquid inside. That's not how chocolate works.
No, liquid should not be inside chocolate. But I was going to ask you, what is your favorite chocolate?
You know what? I like a nice piece of dark chocolate. In terms of like candy bars, before I started eating really healthy a while back, I really loved Three Musketeers.
Okay. But let's say like you're getting them in like in a box form. Like,
okay,
if you had to pick one out of like out of a box, like you said, you don't like caramels, which I actually do like caramels. Caramels are very good.
All right. So we can split a box of chocolates. Okay. I would want something with like dark chocolate and maybe some sort of nut, like an almond. Ooh, that
like
sounds nice.
Like a nougat maybe? Or no nougats?
Nougats. I don't mind nougat really.
Okay.
But something with like a nut, like an almond, I like.
See, I like, they have something called chocolate turtles here that are like pecans and then they cover them dark chocolate. That's what I like. That's my fave.
Those are good too.
I love that.
Maybe your mailman will give you a box.
Maybe one day. And then a couple of things that I saw, Sabrina's velvet zip-up.
Yeah.
Which was pretty hideous, I thought.
It looks like something like your old auntie would wear.
I mean, even in 1990s, it looked terrible. Like, it was just like, you were looking at it and you're like, why did you pick this? Like, and of course, we'll see it later on, and she'll wear it through multiple scenes. It's not it's not just the open, it's the whole, it's half the show she's wearing this awful vest.
That's what she wears when she writes Valentine's, Phil.
But what did you think about the levitation of the chocolates?
I'm glad you brought it up because it's actually my first note here. I really loved it because it's clearly practical where they're pretty obviously on wires.
Yeah. I mean, to the point where, as you see it, the scene close, you see Melissa Joan Hart like pick it off a hook almost. Like she lifted it up to
pick
it off.
yeah, they clearly are like just hanging there. But I think that there's something imperfect about that that really makes it way more convincing and less distracting than if it was CGI. Because if it was like 90s TV CGI, I would just be looking at it going, God, that looks like shit. As we're here, I'm just like, oh, they strung up a bunch of candies. I love it. It's like watching Bewitched.
We'll see terrible CGI later on, but yes.
Oh boy, will we?
But yeah, you're right. It was like you said, it's very practical. It's it was quick. It was easy to do. You know, we didn't have to really think about it. You know, she gave it the finger, and all of a sudden, all the caramels popped up.
I liked it. Also, this is the first mention of Dirk the Mailman, who will return in a later episode in season one.
Oh.
So get ready for that.
More of Dirk later on.
Dirk till you scream. Anyway, at Westbridge, Harvey and Sabrina exchange Valentines, and Sabrina calls Harvey's minuscule card cute before reading the inscription, Happy Val Day Sab. See, this is where Sab comes from.
Wow, yours is so big.
And yours is so cute. Happy Val Day, Sab.
I thought Sab would be a cool nickname for you.
Really?
Who am I kidding? My Valentine started out just as big as yours, but I kept trying to make it even, and it got smaller and smaller.
But I love it. It's very symmetrical.
Harvey says he thought Sab would be a cute nickname for her before quickly giving up the ghost, revealing that he originally made one for her as big as her gigantic Valentine, although he kept trimming it because he loves symmetry. You know, like Sabrina's symmetrical face. As she smiles from this, I guess, compliment, Harvey goes in for a kiss, which is soon blocked by the bell, and they agree to continue this later. Later, at the house, Sabrina thanks Harvey for walking her home, but a thirsty young Harvey says he should walk her inside to make sure she gets to the living room okay, and Sabrina approves. Once inside, Sabrina suggests that he stays and hangs out, which he readily accepts, leading her to the kitchen to see if her aunts are around. In there, she finds Salem adorably typing on a laptop. It was very cute. He was using like a pencil in his mouth. She accuses him of being in chat rooms pretending to be a woman again, because it's 1997, but Salem explains that he just likes the attention.
Salem, what are you doing?
Nothing.
You're in a chat room again pretending to be a woman, aren't you?
I like the attention.
Well, say goodbye. Harvey's here and you better start acting cattier.
Mean.
Salem then goes on to explain that the aunties are at the Goya exhibit at the museum, as Zelda was one of his models. Just then, Harvey sticks his head through the kitchen door, kind of, like, awkwardly and creepily, in my opinion, but he asks if there's any chance that she has some snacks, a hunger which Sabrina quickly satiates by secretly zapping in some canapés, leaving Harvey confused about her choice in snacks.
Do you like canapés?
As much as the next guy.
Harvey suggests that they take Salem into the living room with them to torture him with his watch, but Sabrina says that he sheds, so it's better if he stays in the kitchen and minds his fucking business. Salem initially feigns being insulted by the suggestion that he has nothing better to do than spy on two teens, before realizing that he actually doesn't and quickly heading off to snoop. Phil.
Yes, sir.
Everything dating back to Westbridge. Okay. With the Valentine. Let's start with the Valentines.
Actually, if you don't mind, I'd like to actually start where she's looking in the mirror in the opening scene.
Okay.
If that's okay with you.
Perfectly fine.
Okay. So we see that she is holding baby Cupid.
Yes.
And she wishes us a happy Valentine's Day. But for some reason, she is also in a white dress with wings on.
Yes. She's an angel?
I guess. I don't know why. I mean, I can understand if she was holding baby Cupid in her normal clothes, but why would she be dressed in a white? It made no sense to me. I don't know if you picked up anything on it or it was just something I missed.
What I noticed about this was like when she was holding the baby, my mind went directly to the fact that it was probably some member of her family. Like,
yeah,
knowing how the show works, that's probably like her little brother or something.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But yeah, the Valentines, Sabrina says it's cute. That's just a euphemism for tiny, right?
I guess. I think she was expecting a little bit grander gesture, maybe.
Yeah,
and,
but like,
you know, her, as you saw, hers was, you know, ginormous. It was big. You know, it was decorated. It had, you know, sparkles and glitter and stuff all over it. And then Harvey gives her a symmetrical, you know, 3-inch heart and says, yep, you know, here you go, Sab.
Like the size that you cut out in like third grade art class.
Exactly.
To be fair, I'm a stickler for symmetry also. I love symmetrical things. Mm-hmm. But if a girl tells you that something that you gave her is cute, and I'm including like dick, it's because it's tiny.
Well, it depends on what the connotation is on cute. You know, if you have a puppy and, you know, they're oh, he's so cute, you know, they're right, just gushing over him. You know, it's that's one thing. But if they're very short and they just use the word cute,
yeah,
I like in this scene, I would say yes. I think she was a little disappointed.
Sabrina's a bit of a size whore when it comes to Valentine's, is my point here.
I mean, it's all that hand fucking they did last episode. It's time to get to level two.
Also, how obvious is Harvey going to be? Like, he offers to walk her inside. Why don't you just offer to help take off that pesky bra of hers so she doesn't have to struggle with it later, Harvey?
I mean, he is trying hard. He's really laying it thick this episode.
He's trying to, if you know what I mean.
I mean, he is literally telling her his intentions are romantic in all of its context.
And we haven't gotten to the part where he's just like, I want to kiss you. That's when he just throws it out the window.
And then we get into, like you said, when she walks into the kitchen and Salem's in the chat rooms. Yeah. Does this make Salem the original catfisher?
Very good, Phil. I'm very proud of that, actually. I love it.
Is he the original guy? I think he is.
He obviously is. Like, I mean, he was probably like asking them for money, telling them he was in Nigeria.
You know, I have I'm a king in Nigeria, and you know, if you can help me, I will give you millions of dollars.
Yeah. The thing I noticed about the Salem scene, besides the fact that he's adorable typing with his little pencil,
yes,
is the fact that Salem has like a specific chair that he's always shown sitting in when like he's sitting at a table, because it has to be elevated. So it's like that high back chair with like those scrolls, and like the seat is basically at the same level of the table. You'll right. see it every time you see Salem sitting at the table. Like I picked up on this in this episode, but we've seen it a bunch of times before. It's just like, that's Salem's table chair. And I kind of like that.
And the quality of Salem has gotten yeah. exponentially better, especially you could tell like on close-up scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not so much later on in the next scene where we see him on the stairs. He right. kind of looked a little freaky, but when he's at the computer, you know, at the table, and when they're talking, when she's talking to Salem, when
yep.
Melissa Joan Hart is talking to Salem, you can see the quality is, you know, above, way above where it used to be.
Talking about Harvey for a second, did you notice, or was it just me, but his hair didn't look quite as nice as it usually does? It was like flatter, less bouncy.
Not in this scene. The later on, it looks better. The mm-hmm. date scene, I thought it looked Harvey-esque. And then we also have, you know, Harvey popping into the kitchen, like you said.
Yeah.
And what the heck is a canapé? Like, I don't okay. know.
A canopy is basically like, it's a broad term, but it's like a little, like, I think it's traditionally like a dough pouch or like a crust pouch, but like filled with like some sort of like filling.
Okay, how about we just, you know, do some, like, I don't know, Tostino's pizza or
yes!
something.
Yes!
You know, you don't have to get too crazy here. We're teenagers in the 90s, okay? Anything would do. A bag of Doritos.
She's a fucking
Cheez-Its.
Witch. She can zap in anything.
I mean, all these wonderful things in the world that
fucking
he could
butter
eat.
Thumbs.
Yeah, a bunch of Butterfingers. Hey, I got a box of Butterfingers here. No, let me get a canapé. Like, what the heck is this? Out of all the things you could zap in the world? Come on.
Oh, Sabrina. Wetting us down. He'll never kiss you now.
I wouldn't. I'd be like, look, broad, you have no idea what you got got us broad. Into.
listen, Dame.
Look, at this point, I would be upset. I'm hungry. I asked you for food, and this is what you serve me?
Also, why is your cat sitting in that really high chair?
And why is he typing on a computer? Oh, wait, no, the computer she took away from him.
She
so,
did. Yeah. She took away the first laptop ever made.
I mean, that thing, did you see that thing, how thick it was?
It
I mean,
stop
if
a
I got,
fucking bullet.
I mean, if you got whacked in the head with that, I mean, you would not be out cold.
You would be hurt in the head.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Phil. We then see Salem spying on the teens from the staircase, as you said, as they flip through a book of Annie Leibovitz photos, eventually making a joke about Whoopi Goldberg in a milk bath.
Isn't Annie Leibovitz cool? She knows everybody.
Oh, look at this one. Whoopi Goldberg in a bathtub of milk. I wonder if they warmed it before she got in.
I'm sure. She's a star. Whoa!
What was that? Uh-oh, sparks are flying.
All this raw sexual tension causes a literal spark to fly, which Salem spots. Harvey says that he's sick of the book and would rather kiss Sabrina, which she immediately agrees to, but as he moves in, a much fluffier Salem jumps in between the two teens and interrupts the would-be smooching.
No!
Very good. My God, is Nate Richard on the recording here? Nate Richard, excuse me. Nick Bakay. Bakay.
Yes.
Harvey asks what the fuck is the deal with the cat, and Sabrina says she doesn't know, but will go talk to him, feed him in the kitchen. In the kitchen, Sabrina starts reading Salem the Riot Act about snooping, but Salem says that it was a good thing he was snooping, as she can't kiss Harvey because something horrible will happen, before asking if her aunties talked to her, noting that the sparks were a warning. When she asks of what, Salem says that she should hear it from her aunts and not from her house cat, which is probably true. When she asks if he's being sincere, he says he is, though it pains him, and she soon emerges from the kitchen to explain to Harvey that he has to leave, since apparently her cat is sick and needs an operation.
Harvey?
Yeah?
You have to go. There's an emergency.
What's wrong?
My cat's sick. He needs an operation.
Can I do anything?
No, we're going to use a certified vet.
Harvey asks if there's anything he can do, but she says that they've decided to go with a certified vet, and then quickly hands him his coat and bag and gives him the literal bum's rush. He says he'll see her tomorrow, maybe for a movie, which she says sounds great, before slamming the door and giving us an irritated, just great.
Sounds great. Just great.
There it is. Later, the aunties return, and Hilda is super excited as the Goya exhibit is selling postcards of Zelda nude. Zelda says it's art before bringing up the opinion of a man in a trench coat who called it a masterpiece. Sabrina then comes running in, just incomprehensibly shouting about why she can't kiss Harvey. And while not initially understanding her, Zelda eventually understands her the second time and tells her that they have to talk, leading Sabrina to give us the most honest statement in this episode: nothing good ever comes from talking. Phil.
Yes, sir.
Is it not true that nothing good ever comes from talking?
That's not necessarily true.
I don't know.
I think good things happen from talking, but usually
Somebody says we have to talk.
Usually when something starts that way, it's not going to be good.
What did you think of the big fluffy cat? Because to me, it was obvious that they had to hire another cat to do this jump.
And it looked like nowhere near the standard Salem cat that's used. I mean, this, like you said, it was extremely fluffy. And I'm like, this doesn't look like the same cat, but
it was black. That's about how similar they were.
That's pretty much it. I think it was actually bigger than that standard cat. Like, it was a bigger cat.
It might have been. Like, it's clear that they had to hire a cat to do this jump, and the only black cat they could find is, like, a big fluffy one. So they're just like, nah, nobody will fucking care. But I was planning a podcast 20 years ago, assholes.
Call them a stunt cat.
Call the East Coast to see if they have any black cats that can make a jump like this, just so that Al doesn't criticize us. Did you like Melissa Joan Hart in this scene? Because she's called on to do a bit of intense acting, I guess, because she's got to convince Harvey to leave. And
I think she did a pretty good job, especially the part where just after that scene where you know, Bushy Salem jumps in, she says if she's messing with him, that she's going to get him neutered slowly, which but I thought was a great delivery and a great line.
Salem, are you being sincere?
Yes, and it pains me to do it.
Okay, I won't kiss Harvey. But if you're making this up, I swear you will be neutered. Slowly.
I think she did a pretty good job, at least in this scene.
Yeah. I thought she was also really funny. That is a very, very funny delivery by her. I thought she was also really good when she gives us that line about a certified vet.
Yes.
Great delivery there also. You shouldn't really be that shocked because by this point she's already done Sabrina for 17 episodes and Melissa Joan Hart has already done Clarissa Explains It All for 4 or 5 seasons. So she's, you know, I don't want to say a veteran, but she's been acting for a while. So, but you can really see her getting settled into the Sabrina character there.
I think she's, you know, she's now becoming one with the character where before, you know, it seemed like she was a little uncomfortable in the role. I think now she's more, you know, she's more the helm of the role and moving it the way she wants to move it.
But screw all that shit because there's nude Zelda, Phil.
There was nude Zelda at the Goya exhibit.
Okay, let's talk about this. This supposed Zelda nude postcard is clearly not actually Zelda. Like, it's obviously a brunette.
Yes. Well, maybe she dyed her hair back then.
It's possible.
She's a witch. She could make anything happen. I mean, wanted to go redhead tomorrow. She could. Boom. Done.
That is true. But let me tell you, I, being, you know, the guy who hosts the Sabrina Teenage Witch podcast, Googled Goya photos until I found this particular painting.
Is it called Zelda?
No, that'd be fucking great. No, it's called the Naked Maja, M-A-J-A, thought to have been commissioned by the Spanish Prime Minister Manuel de Godoy. By the way, just because my resume says I speak Spanish doesn't mean I speak it well. And it's also supposedly featuring his young mistress, Pepita Tudor. So, unless Zelda was a mistress for a...
See,
Prime
for a
Minister
second
of Spain.
There, it sounded like you said naked magic. I was like, ah, see?
That would be fantastic also, but sadly, no.
Sadly, it is not. But we also do find from Salem that, you know, if a witch does kiss a mortal, they will turn into a frog.
We're going to find that out real soon, but we'll talk about the frog thing because I think it's actually, for as ridiculous a concept as it is, I thought it was played off very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk about that in the next scene because there's a couple of things I want to talk about.
Perfect. Zelda explains that when a witch kisses a mortal for the first time, that mortal will turn into a frog. Sabrina says that this sounds like some sort of fairy tale shit, and Zelda basically just says, where the hell do you think they got it from? Reiterating the problem, Zelda tells Sabs that she can't kiss Harvey without transmogrifying him. Which Hilda informs us isn't a good thing.
That's not good.
Generally don't want that. This leads Sabrina to stomp upstairs saying that she hates being a witch for like the 13th time in this series.
Pretty much every other episode.
Hilda and her comforting statement about not kissing anyone when she was in high school fall on deaf ears.
Oh, no. It's not so bad. I went through high school without kissing.
Later, the aunties enter Sabrina's room, noting that they did some research, and since she's only half witch and half mortal, there's only a 50% chance that kissing Harvey will frogify him. Zelda explains it's basically a coin toss, leading Hilda to give Sabrina a literal coin, which she uses to figure out if Harvey will be a frog or not, ending up in a one-heads, one-tail situation. Basically 50-50. This continues later downstairs, where Sabrina tells Salem that out of 100 tries, it came out 50 heads, 50 tails, leading her to ask him what the odds of that are. Salem's response, of course, he's an English major.
Tails! Ugh!
Why the ugh?
Out of 100 tries, it came out 50 heads and 50 tails. What are the odds of that happening?
Don't ask me, I was an English major.
Just then, the doorbell rings, and as she goes to answer it, Sabrina sees that it's Harvey and begins freaking out as she, quote, looks like laundry. Sabrina quickly zaps into an honestly fantastic outfit and answers the door, where Harvey reminds her about their movie plans. She remembers how dark those movie theaters are kept and quickly runs off to ask her aunts something. Finding Zelda at work in the kitchen, Sabrina tells her that she has a problem as Harvey wants to go to the movies with her. Zelda gives her the incredible advice of going to see Shine as everyone's raving about it.
She did say that.
Harvey's here and he wants to go to the movies. What should I do?
See Shine. Everybody's raving about it.
You know what I mean.
Zelda then says that she sees no reason why two friends can't go to see the movies together before offering to give Harvey some bad breath. But Sabrina points out rightly that she still has to sit next to the guy. She then asks to recalculate the odds of Harvey becoming a frog, but Zelda sweetly tells her that she called MIT and it's still 50-50. Sabrina soon heads off with Harvey, calling him old buddy, old pal, and punching him in the arm like friends tend to do just to keep his lips at bay. Phil, let's go back to the idea that mortals being kissed by witches for the first time will turn them into frogs.
Yes.
What do you think of the idea as a plot device, and how do you think it was carried out in the episode?
As a plot device, if you're a teenager or, you know, a preteen, you could make it happen. But if you put really any thought to it, you know, well, what would have happened to, you know, Sabrina's mom? Would she have turned into a frog when her dad kissed her?
Yes, but unless, I think the way the rule works is the first time a witch kisses a mortal, that mortal. So maybe like Sabrina's father kissed another mortal?
Maybe. So you think it's just the first mortal or any mortal?
I think it's the first time a witch kisses a mortal.
I thought it was the first kiss of a mortal.
Like every mortal?
Yes.
No, I think it's the first time.
I got you.
Because it's pretty obviously like an allusion to like losing your virginity.
Understood. Okay, I got you now. I think, like I said, it's totally plausible in a storyline for a teenager. So, to the audience that they're trying to give it to, or trying to, you know, tell the story to, it absolutely makes sense.
I think while the concept really is kind of like childish, the show does a really good job of convincing the viewer to buy into the notion that Harvey becoming a frog is a legitimate danger, and this is actually the real world in this universe situation that's going on, and that there are stakes, you know? From the way that the aunts sell the seriousness of the situation to all the research that the aunts do into the 50-50 risk, it definitely feels like there are some intense stakes about Sabrina kissing Harvey or not. And if you're going to do a story like this that seems so fairy tale and somewhat, you know, childish, this is the way to do it on Sabrina Teenage Witch, where it may seem childish, but there are real world stakes for our character.
I agree with you on that.
Okay. Now, did you notice in her room that stupid fucking alphabet poster is back on her closet?
I did not. I don't have that keen eye that you do. I did not.
Not only is that stupid alphabet poster back, but there's also a cardboard dollhouse in front of her window.
That I did see. And it almost looked like a model of her house.
I thought it was supposed to be that, but the house that she lives in looks pretty different.
Okay, well, that's what I thought it was going for, but I might be wrong.
I thought, in terms of editing, there was a nice like cut where she's in her room and she flips the coin up into the air and then she catches it and she's in the living room. I thought it was very Two-Face like.
Now, there's a couple of things I want to talk about the whole coin situation.
Do it.
Okay, so we find out there's a 50-50 chance, right, of him turning into a frog. But then she flips a coin 100 times and she's got 50 heads and 50 tails.
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what the probability of that is?
I believe it's 1 out of 100.
It is almost impossible, okay, to have 50 tails and 50 heads. Okay? It is almost impossible.
I mean, it would have to be 1%, right? Because
the probability, I looked at the figure and I can't really tell very well on radio or podcasting here. It is pretty much impossible, okay? Yeah. It is pretty much impossible.
She should be impressed that it actually did turn out 50-50. Like, I would be bragging about that.
Actually, if it turned out 50-50, if I were her, I would run out and go play the lottery because she would be a very rich person right now, if that's the case. And then we learn about Salem. Like you said, he is an English major.
Right.
I thought was pretty, it was pretty ironic.
It's funny, but also you think he'd be like a poli-sci major, or like a history major, because he tries to take over the world.
It's exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking like, oh, okay, like a history major, or like you said, poli-sci, or, you know, even like geography or something. No, I was an English major.
I studied plants when I tried to take over the world.
Although there's going to be one thing that we're going to differ on here.
We will see. Go ahead.
Sabrina's flower print turtleneck.
Oh, Phil. Go ahead.
I thought it was hideous.
All right. Here's literally the note I have on it. Ready? Okay. Sabrina's outfit she changes into is the fucking bee's knees.
It is not the bee's knees.
Okay. I thought she looked incredible. Like the high dress with tights underneath, it's all black, but it looks... It's classic Sabrina, but I think the sheer kind of like, it's almost like a bodysuit, but it is like it is almost a turtleneck also, but it's sheer and it's got like a flower print. I thought it made the whole thing look more adult and kind of sexier.
I think it looked, I mean, it looked like, again, something of the time period, something from Adelia's catalog, something that, you know, a girl her age would probably wear. I didn't think it was very... I just did not like that turtleneck. The rest of the ensemble looked great. And if she did it with a white shirt or she had done it with a red shirt, she would have been perfect. It looked great.
I think it looks better here than it does when she changes into like the red version later on.
I think the red version was a lot better.
But
I think we, you know, different. We could differ. It's all
different. Different strokes, different folks.
There you go. But
speaking of strokes, we're going to talk about Harvey in a second, if you know what I mean.
And then she said she looked like laundry, which I didn't get.
I thought it was a fun, because she's all like in her sweats.
But see, I'm a child of that time period. I don't remember that being a term or a line. You know. So
also, I think girls look hot in sweats. So
I thought that was, you know, if we had to give an award for the best looking outfit, that was going to be one of the contenders. That's going to be one of the contenders, I think.
Did you like Zelda's like at work outfit where she's got like a black black pants and a white like work shirt, but she's got it tied around her waist?
Oh, that looked great.
That was pretty good.
That looked pretty good. I ain't gonna lie. That looked real good.
All right, we can agree on something.
There we go.
All right. In Harvey's Chevette, he asks Sabrina what she wants to see, and she says something with lots of random property damage. He goes on to tell her that Vindicator 3 just came out before helping her with her tricky seatbelt, causing him to notice how pretty she looks tonight and start to move in for a kiss.
Let me help you with that. They're kind of tricky. There. You look really pretty tonight.
Thanks, so do you. Let's go.
Sabrina just quickly tells him that he looks pretty too and says, let's go. In the theater, Harvey is confused by a character's identity, but luckily, he quickly dies, as Sabrina just keeps flipping her coin. Harvey gives her another deep look, noting again how she looks really pretty tonight, but upon moving in for Sabrina's kiss, or to kiss Sabrina rather, Sabs zaps the popcorn in his hand, sending it flying, and her running to the concession stands for more. Later, at the Evil Bean, Harvey arrives at their table with their coffee and asks why she's been flipping that coin so much, to which Sabrina explains that if she gets 100 heads, she wins a prize. Maybe if she gives 100, all right, whatever. Anyway.
Hey-o.
I'm going to leave that one in. Harvey then tells her that the best part of seeing the movie with her was not the Lou Reed song at the end, but rather seeing it with her. He gives her a third, you look really pretty tonight, but when he moves in again, this time Sabrina lifts her muffin, no euphemism there, giving Harvey a snootful.
Hey, you know what the best part of that movie was?
The end credits with the Lou Reed song?
No. Seeing it with you.
Thanks.
You look really pretty tonight.
Muffin?
Back in the Chevette, Sabrina says that this was the most fun two friends could have before giving Harvey a good night and God's bead. Harvey stops her, wanting to talk about them, as yesterday he thought she wanted him to kiss her, and today he's like the plague to her. Sabrina says that she can't explain, but Harvey says that if she wants, they can just be friends.
If that's what you want, we can just be friends.
She says she thinks that might be best, and Harvey offers to walk her to the door before grousing about wanting to kiss her. Sabrina then just hops into action and kisses Harvey herself, before celebrating the fact that he's still here. Harvey starts to tell her that he'll always be here for her, before, go figure, transforming into a frog and giving us a third act worth seeing, giving us a ribbon and everything.
You're still here!
I'll always be here for you.
I was afraid you'd say that.
Phil.
Yes, sir.
Going back to, let's just talk about their date here. Okay. For a guy, the first thing I noticed was, for a guy who was trying to get kissed by a girl here, Harvey really didn't wear his best on this date.
No, he did not.
He was wearing, like, this blue, very deep V-neck sweater with, like, sparsely placed white and black vertical stripes. Just making it harder for yourself here, Harvey.
I mean, it did look of something that would be worn in that time period,
right,
though. I mean, you know, he wasn't dressed to the nines. He wasn't going, you know, in full suit. But he looked of the time period, and it wasn't that terrible, I thought.
Okay. Did you think, as I did, that he kind of gets pathetic when he's in the car at the end?
Oh, my God. Yeah, he did. I mean, it was almost like he was, like, begging for it. Like, dude, yeah. Really? You
yeah,
had
after,
to beg for it?
After she says that she wants to be friends, you don't just yell out that you really wanted to kiss her dejectedly. That's, like, the most pathetic.
All right, I'll walk you to the door. Man, I really wanted to kiss you.
I think that he knew that she likes him, mm-hmm. So he was kind of inching along. But let's say that's not true. Maybe she's just doing this as a mercy date.
Right.
Can you imagine how terrible that would be?
Ugh.
I mean, it's like, oh, I really wanted to kiss you. You know, okay, see you later, weirdo.
Never come back.
Now, did you see what was on his dashboard?
I didn't see that.
He had a baseball mitt just sitting on his dashboard.
He's a sporty guy.
Well, which is fine. But, okay, it's just literally sitting on his dashboard, okay? And then they go on this date. Like, when he picks her up, it's on the dashboard. Mm-hmm. They go on this date. They go to, like, two different places. And they come back. And it's still in the same exact spot. Hasn't moved. Hasn't fallen.
No.
Nothing has happened with it.
He actually doesn't play baseball. He just, like, keeps it on his car.
I think he just crazy glues it to his dashboard just in case.
It's weird, too, because, like, the one time we've seen him play a sport, well, the one time we've seen him partake in a sport, aside from recreationally, it was, like, when he was on the football team in episode 4.
Right.
But now, apparently, he plays baseball also.
He does it all. I mean, you look, we saw his room last episode. I mean, come on. He has, like, every sport on his wall.
He's a decathlete, this Harvey guy.
And then he gets, of course, denied by the muffin, which
yes.
was pretty funny, I thought.
Did you pick up on the evil bean reference?
I didn't pick up on the reference, but I did see it on the cup.
I noticed it because in the 7th episode, third on from the sun, Vesta calls coffee the evil bean when she's mocking, like, Hilda and Zelda.
Because
gotcha. Hilda and Zelda never let Sabrina drink coffee, and she's like, oh, right, the evil bean.
Yes, the evil bean.
I don't know if that was, like, a phrase, because I don't trust this show to make that callback.
I don't remember it as such a phrase. Like, oh, did you have some of that evil bean? Like, no. Don't remember people saying that.
I hope people say that now.
I think we should start that.
I've been riding the evil bean, if you know what I mean.
Listeners, if you want it to be a thing, just let us know.
Yeah, hashtag evil bean.
Hashtag evil bean. And Harry's, we're still looking for money.
That's true. Also, Starbucks, I'll take your fucking money.
Anybody,
here.
Anybody.
Phil, have you tried Pete's coffee lately?
I like Pete's.
It doesn't taste like battery acid at all.
Cut two. Hey, how about that Dunkin'? Anybody.
Hey, Phil, have you tried insert name coffee?
They're it's the greatest. Delicious.
One last thing. I thought the actual like transformation of Harvey into a frog looks pretty good.
It was, yeah, for an ABC kids show on TGIF on its first season, it was pretty good. It was pretty good, I would say, for any network show at that time.
Yeah.
In the 90s. I mean, we're talking about 20 years ago, people.
Which is amazing. Like, almost to the day 20 years ago.
I mean, this is 20 years ago.
It's insane. All right, Phil. Sabrina soon hysterically enters the house to sounds of Hilda's frantic violin. She tells Zelda that she frogified Harvey and that Hilda's music is not helping.
Help! Help!
What's the matter?
I turned Harvey into a frog!
Oh, no!
And you're not helping with that music, Aunt Hilda!
Zelda says that she thought they were just gonna be friends, but Sabrina says that that failed, and now they're not even in the same species. Zelda then takes charge, first moistening Harvey with a spray bottle, and then informing Sabrina about the true love clause. Hilda notes that there's a test she can take to see if it's true love, and if she passes, Harvey will become human again. She then tells her the downside, that if she funks the true love test, she'll become a frog. Sabrina then worries, as though she really, really does like Harvey, she's not sure that it's true love. The Spellman family then conduct an impromptu but exhausted questionnaire for Sabrina, and eventually rule that indeed, it may be love.
How am I supposed to know if it's true love?
Well, do you think about him when he's not around?
Yeah.
And does your heart beat faster when you see him walking down the hall?
Yeah.
And does it bother you when he chews gum?
No.
Then it might be true love.
Sabrina decides to take the test before asking if it's multiple choice. The Spellmans soon arrive at the Other Realms National Institute of Love, where Zelda explains that they really do go all out for Valentine's Day, including changing their outfits into red versions of their outfits when they walk under a flower trellis. Hilda says Drell should be here soon to give the test before reflecting on how odd it will be to see him on the 94th anniversary of their 32nd breakup. Drell then enters and, after greeting Hilda, tells Sabrina that the test consists of three parts, each more horrifying than the last. No, as horrifying? No, more horrifying. Gets worse. He then has her sign a release that cues a scream to sound when she does, as she just signed her life away, and tells her to start at door number one.
Now, yeah, the standard release form here. The council is, of course, not responsible for loss of hair, dignity, or personal items. Just sign right here. If you want collision, initial the box.
Oh, don't fall for that. It's a ripoff.
What was that?
You just signed your life away. So, you all set?
Yeah, where do I start?
Start at door number one.
After some well wishes from the aunties, off she goes into the door. She soon emerges on the set of The True Love Game, a cheesy 70s game show in the vein of The Dating Game, complete with former Hollywood Squares host Peter Marshall. Phil, before we get into The True Love Game,
yes,
everything from when Sabrina returns to the house with Froggy Harvey.
Okay, let's go ahead and start there.
Okay, I thought that the scene itself, when she runs in, is really, really fun. I think everything works together. I love the frantic music.
I thought the music was awesome. It was a great scene because, you know, here the music is playing and you're thinking, is it just, you know, is it her actually? Is it like, you know, staged music where it's off to the side and they're just inserted the music? Or is it someone actually playing? And then you see her playing the music, and it was just great.
And you get a great joke out of it, too. It also occurred to me here that the Witch's Council must be, like, super fucking conservative if the only way a witch can kiss a mortal and not have them be a frog is if it's, quote, true love. Like, geez, just let teens experiment.
Yeah, you got to, you know, sometimes you just got to try out Immortal and see what you can do.
God, what happens after a witch loses their fucking virginity to a one night stand to Immortal? Does he become a fucking rooster until they get married?
I have no clue. Maybe when hopefully they redo this series, we'll get that answered.
Oh boy, with Riverdale being as popular as it is on the CW.
There you go.
The National Institute of Love, Phil.
Yeah, why is it the National Institute of Love?
I don't know. Is the other realm a nation?
It's really not. And, I mean, you would think, like, if it was, like, it would have been, like, the global, you know, or the...
Other Realm Institute of Love.
Yeah, the other realm, or it's the Institute of Love. Just know nothing else. This is the Institute of Love. You know, that's it.
We do find out in later seasons that the other realm does have immigration enforcement, so maybe they are a nation.
There you go. You better watch out.
What do you have here, Phil?
Well, we do find out that we have to make sure that we keep Harvey moist.
Yeah.
If he's not moist.
I think part of Harvey's problem is that he's a little too moist, okay?
Especially after that date. I mean, in that
honestly,
car? Come on. I think he was getting a little bit too moist there.
If he were a little bit less moist, he wouldn't be a frog right now.
So, yeah, then we learn about the true love clause, like you said. Mm. And then we have one of my favorite characters in the series, Drell.
Yes.
Played by Penn Jillette. So, I mean, it doesn't matter what he does or what he says. Mm-hmm. Every line is always a zinger, and it's always funny.
Absolutely. And in this episode, you get to see a lot of, like, his physical comedy.
Yes.
Like, later on, he's, like, leaning on a couch talking to Hilda, and it's just, like, this guy knows what he's doing comedically respect.
He walks in, and he says, hello, ladies, and Hilda. I mean, that right there, I mean, got me laughing.
Hello, ladies, and Hilda.
Did you like his outfit?
It was okay.
Yeah.
I think it was probably a little bit too much.
The big smoking jacket.
The big smoking jacket. Yeah, the you know, Hugh Hefner wannabe. Mm-hmm. But it was okay. I understand what they were trying to go for.
Right.
A couple of other lines that he said, that the council isn't liable for loss of hair, loss of dignity, or personal items, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yep.
And then he says, if you want collision, check this box. And then Hilda says, nope, that's a ripoff. Don't do that.
You don't want that collision insurance. Come on.
Nope, it's a ripoff. and then, of course, the woman screams and she goes, what's that? And you go, oh, you signed your life away. Time to get going to door number one. So let's go into door number one and see what's there, Al.
A true love game. Sabrina emerges on the set of the true love game dressed in a lovely early 70s dress. And soon sits down to meet her Harveys and see how well she knows the person she thinks she loves. She is then handed questions from Peter Marshall to ask the Harveys, beginning with the very important question of, if I were a princess trapped in a tower, how would you rescue me? First person to answer is Harvey number two, and he gives us a slick answer about walking on air.
This question is for Harvey number two. If I were a princess trapped in a tower, how would you rescue me?
Well, the thought of you makes me walk on air, so I'd float right up and whisk you away.
That's sweet.
She then asks Harvey number one the same question, and he has a dramatically better answer of blow up the tower.
And Harvey number one, what would you do?
Blow up the tower.
Okay.
I legitimately one of like the biggest laughs I've ever had since I started this podcast.
Did you really? Did you start laughing for that?
I thought it was the fucking funniest thing, Phil.
Just blow it up.
Just the dry, like, cryptic way he says it.
That's true. It was kind of dry and kind of, like, very nonchalant, just blow it up.
Like, he clearly has no problem blowing things. I thought it was so fucking funny. Anyway, she then asks Harvey number three to describe Harvey number one's best feature, and he chooses his sideburns, which Harvey number one appreciates, leading to a bit of a sideburn pissing contest. Marshall then moves Sabrina on to the big question, what's your favorite kind of triangle?
Harvey number one, your triangle?
Obtuse.
And why?
I don't know.
Harvey number two?
Scalene. Definitely scalene.
And Harvey number three, what's your favorite kind of triangle?
Equilateral. I like that it's symmetrical.
Sabrina remembers Harvey's crazy symmetry boner and correctly picks Harvey number three. When she returns to the Institute, Drell gives her a really vomit-inducing moral lesson about friendship.
Well, you passed the test of friendship. True love can't exist without friendship. They make me say that.
After a ribbit of good luck from Harvey, Sabrina enters door number two as Zelda takes Harvey to the trellis to look for bugs, leaving Drell and Hilda alone to flirt. Drell informs Hilda of the big happenings in his life, that being that he moved out of his parents' basement, admitting that she was right, he should have done it years ago. Centuries ago, in fact. She says that she'd love to come see his place sometime, and he says that'd be great, particularly if she were to bring some furniture with her. Elsewhere, we see Sabrina lying by a pool, confused, wondering what the next test is. Just then, a walking ad for steroids enters, asking if he can take the seat next to her, and introducing himself as Zach. Zach asks if she's been waiting here for the test, and when she says she is, he tells her that it could be a while, and flexes. He goes on to comment about how good the sun feels, and she agrees, leading Zach to compliment her sunglasses, saying that she looks like a blonde Audrey Hepburn. Being a teenage girl in the 90s, Sabrina loves this. Phil, before we get into the rest of this Zach conversation.
Yes.
Let's go back
Zach
to the
with a K.
Zach with a K. Let's go to the true love game.
Go ahead. Yes.
What did you think of, because there are three Harveys, did you think of the Harvey's 70s outfits?
They were pretty 70s.
Yeah.
There was nothing that really stood out as, you know, as ugly or, I mean, again, it was all for the time period. There was nothing that would be like, well, they wouldn't wear that in the 70s. I mean, it looked as if they were in the 70s.
It did look time appropriate. However, I thought Harvey number three was by far my least favorite. Like, he's wearing a brown denim suit.
Is that how you told who the real Harvey was? By who wore the worst outfit?
Who's the worst dressed? That's right. with a brown shirt underneath, and he's wearing like black and like peanut butter brown wingtips.
Ugh.
He looks like Mr. Roper.
He kind of did.
Like a lot, like, come to think of it, like Mr. Roper.
What about that bro fest over the sideburns?
I mean, man.
It was like, hey, bro, thanks for the... I mean, I thought they were going to like hug it out. But then Harvey number two got all mad about what was going on there. What about my sideburns?
This question is for Harvey number three. Describe Harvey number one's best and worst feature.
Well, he has really nice sideburns.
Thanks, man. You too.
Hey, what about me?
They're okay. Come on, guys. Let's just go on, please.
The weird thing is, like, the sideburns are the worst part of Harvey's, like, hair.
Pretty much. I mean, if you look at his hair, you know, head on, you know, no pun intended.
Intended.
Very intended. It's wavy, and I mean, it's good look. It's good looking hair. I mean, it's
right.
A good looking head of hair, which is sad now knowing that, you know, Nate Richards' hair is pretty much gone. But
yep.
But it's good. I mean, it looked good. But yeah, why would you go with the sideburns? Their sideburns are just there. It's nothing special.
I must also point out, because this has irritated me ever since I watched this show. Like, originally, even as a kid, it kind of irritated me. Okay, Sabrina picks Harvey number three because he picks a triangle that is symmetrical.
Equilateral.
Right. All three of those triangles named are symmetrical.
That is true, yes. That's, you know what? It's a good point that you bring that up, because as I was watching the episode, I kind of thought that. I'm like, aren't they all equal sides?
I mean, an obtuse triangle is a triangle where one of the angles is more than 90 degrees. Scalene just means that two of the sides are the same length. That doesn't make any of them not symmetrical.
Right, I mean, they're both the same length. Wouldn't they be symmetrical?
Well, there's at least one point of symmetry, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Harvey number three picked the most symmetrical one, I guess.
I guess so.
Whatever, it's just weird. Learn your triangles, Sabrina writers. Phil, what did you... I thought, like, Drell in these scenes... is really kind of weird because, like, the whole living in his parents' basement thing, like, up until now, Drell has been portrayed to be this, like, larger-than-life sort of dictator who's, like, you know, everyone fears.
Yes, like the Zeus of the other realm.
Right, but here he's, like, played off as like some loser living in his parents' basement.
Yeah, which I don't know if they're just trying to make him, you know, just, yes, he's great and big and, you know, mighty, but he's still a loser. I don't know why they would do that.
I didn't really care for it. And I've also got some terrible news for you, Phil.
Go ahead.
This is the final appearance of Drell.
Oh, no.
No more Drell, baby.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this will be my last podcast.
I was only coming for Drell.
I was just coming for the Drell episodes.
Listen to Phil's
new. Is this
new
really
podcast.
The last one?
Last time, buddy.
Wow. Well, I guess now thinking about it, I really, you know, in the later years, the college years, you really don't see any of that. It's
no,
just,
no.
Wow.
And I mean, the Witches Council is like mentioned in like later high school seasons, but you don't see Drell anymore.
Wow, that's, well, Pendulette, let me take this time to thank you for your great acting abilities in this series for this last few episodes, and thank you.
You really did put in some great work.
I mean, I think he's definitely so far the best character on
what
the
was
series.
What was your favorite episode in terms of Drell stuff, Phil?
This one was pretty good. I mean, this one was pretty up there, especially later on when, you know, when he's the one in the true love game.
Yeah.
I like some of those lines are pretty funny, I thought.
I this is actually a really good one. I thought that probably my favorite is Jenny's non-dream.
Ah, yes.
Just because he's so like over, like so such a blowhard and so over everyone.
Yeah.
I think he's great. Phil, let's talk about Zach.
With a K.
Zach with a K. What did you think of the character of Zach? Because I have a bit of, I don't want to say bad news, but just an interesting fact, I guess.
I don't know who the character or who the actor is.
Paul Michael Robinson.
And I don't know what else he played in.
I can tell you one thing that he played in.
Probably Baywatch, wasn't it?
You would think so, but he might have been, but he... Paul Michael Robinson is best known for his leading role on the Cinemax softcore porn series Emmanuel in Space,
where he looks like somebody from a softcore porn
he
series.
He really does.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean he's all built up, you know, and I understand why, you know, it was door number two, the test of fidelity. Mm-hmm. I understand, but. I mean, it was a little bit much, and for a teenager who's supposedly, you know, 16, 17 years old.
Yep.
I mean, it was a little weird.
By the way, the plot of Emmanuel in Space is pretty amazing.
Go ahead.
He played Captain Hafren Williams, an alien captain who propositions the protagonist, Emmanuel, that's a woman, to teach him and his crew about Earth sex. Yep. They managed to get 7 like episodes or mini movies out of that.
Is this going to be on your Cinemax softcore porn podcast?
No, we're not doing like a special bonus episode where we review Emmanuel in Space.
A special what episode? Boner episode?
Bonus?
Very good, something else.
Very good. Anything else to add here, Phil?
No, I think we're good. We'll talk about door number 3 here and, you know, and the rest of number 2, but
like I said, so, Sabrina's blown away by this Audrey Hepburn compliment. Zach says that he likes Audrey Hepburn, of course, but when Sabrina asks what his favorite movie of hers is, he says Sabrina because he quote loves the name. And Sabrina informs him of the incredible coincidence that Sabrina is her name. Zach goes on to ask if she's hungry. And when she says she is, he zaps in a monstrous piece of delicious chocolate cake, telling her that one little taste can't hurt.
So, Sabrina, are you hungry?
I hadn't thought about it, but I guess maybe a little.
How about a piece of delicious chocolate cake?
Wow, that looks amazing.
Oh, it is. Here, have a little bite.
I don't know. I had a pretty big muffin earlier.
Ah, come on. One little taste couldn't hurt.
That's true.
Zach tries feeding her a bite while simultaneously saying, "You look really pretty tonight," and Sabrina realizes Zack is trying to make her forget about Harvey. She soon repeatedly turns down his cake advances, and eventually a bell sounds, alerting her that she passed the second test. Zack congratulates her and offers her a bite of cake to celebrate, but Sabrina isn't falling for it. Upon returning to the Institute, Drell says that she passed the test of fidelity, and Zelda adds that she resisted temptation, which tests every relationship. Drell rightly gives Zelda shit for stealing his job.
You resisted temptation, something that tests every relationship.
Zelda, do you mind? This is my gig.
Sorry.
Sabrina then makes a beeline for door number 3, but Drell stops her as before that test, she is required by their insurance to read a pamphlet entitled "So You're Going to Be a Frog." Zelda offers to go over it with her, leaving Hilda and Drell to flirt a little. Drell asks Hilda what she's thinking about, adorably so. Does it really cutely. And she says she's been wondering if their old flame is still burning. He says he still has it, as nobody ever bought it in the garage sale. And upon checking it, they discover that it's not only burning, but burning strong enough to heat soup over. Seeing this, Hilda decides to take the true love test for them, and runs to door number 1, while informing Drell that he, quote, rocks her world.
Drell, he rocked my world.
I'm as giddy as a schoolgirl.
Hilda soon appears on the True Love game show, and the three Drells all say hi, leading her to note she thinks she knows which one is the real Drell. Peter Marshall tells her that that's not how the fucking game is played, and gives her some questions. She starts by asking Drell number 2 which condiment he would want to be. Drell, while told to say ketchup by Drell number 3, instead responds,
"Mustard, so I could spice up your life."
Hilda is convinced that that's Drell number 2, but when she says that Drell number 2 is a real Drell, Marshall tells her that she's wrong. Go figure. Phil.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so my first note here is that after knowing about Paul Michael Robinson's past, Sabrina was quite smart to not put anything of Zach's in her mouth.
Oh, come on, Al. They get tested.
1997, they probably didn't.
Yeah, they probably did 97. Now, if it was like 89 or 90, no.
Emmanuel in Space was 1994, I can tell you.
That's questionable then.
Yeah. Smart move by her anyway. Yeah. I also thought it was weird because like the actor who plays Zach kind of has a mild lisp and some buck teeth, which when combined with his roid-gotten muscles, just like make for a weird-ass package.
You know, it's pretty funny that you say that, because I did kind of see his like buck teeth.
Yeah.
And it was kind of distracting.
Just a weird guy. Didn't have a lot of acting work after this, shockingly.
I wonder why.
All right, so let's talk about some more Penn Jillette, though, Phil.
The insurance carrier. So you're going to be a frog. That was pretty hilarious. I laughed pretty hard at that one.
It's great. I think it's also really sweet that Zelda offers to go over the pamphlet with Sabrina. Like, it just serves to strengthen that family feel which you get from the show.
Yeah, it's like, let's go over here and read this together.
Right. It's like what a parent would do. And I mean, at one point you see Sabrina literally sitting on Zelda's lap reading it with her, which did make me laugh a lot.
Like, she's like 3 years old. Like, oh, yes. Sit on my lap and you can read this pamphlet.
Only like Melissa Joan Hart is maybe 21 at this point.
like that they look at the old to see if the old flame is still burning.
Right. I think that's
literal old, you know, the literal flame is still burning.
Right, it's another instance of metaphorical things being literal things in the other realm. I thought it was really funny, but that being said, that heart-shaped box is the worst fucking place to store an open flame.
Yes. There's no ventilation. I mean, it's easily going to catch on fire.
You're going to burn down the Institute.
I mean, the other realm, I can just imagine how many other realm fires have been with burning boxes of love.
So many love-related fires.
I do like that Hilda, as she goes into door number 1, just yells, "Drell, you rock my world."
See, this is what I was wondering here, Phil, because you were a teen in the 97 year.
Yes, I was. I was actually 15.
Would a girl telling you that you rock her world. I mean, I assume it'd be nice, but would that be what you wanted to hear from a girl?
Well, here's the thing. As a teenager, probably not.
Right.
Sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, think about it. I mean, you got to think about what that means in that context. Like, literally, you rock my world. Like, you are everything to me.
I mean, it wouldn't be in the top five things I'd want to hear from a girl, in all honesty.
Depends when you hear it.
That's true. After I make, like, a really good sandwich.
Yeah. Al, you rock my world.
Yeah, extra meat.
When Al was making his scones.
I was making his scones and his fucking double turkey sandwiches.
Oh, Al, yes, yes.
Man. All right. Let's just end that conversation right now. okay, so, as I said, Hilda was totally wrong about drill number two. She then goes and tries to guess drill number one, but Marshall informs her that the game is over before calling security when she starts arguing with him. She soon returns back to the Institute, where she arrives without fanfare, telling Drell sorry before snuffing out their flame. Sabrina soon says that she's ready to go and has decided to become a flying tree frog. Drell says then it's time for test number three, and when Zelda tells her not to be nervous, she says that she knows it's true love, so she's not nervous. Though, when she tries to open the door, she ends up pulling instead of pushing. A rookie mistake. After she enters door number three, Sabrina appears in a dark space in front of an obvious green screen of maybe Mars. She yells out, and Harvey responds, telling her to see if she can find a light switch, which she somehow fucking does. Flipping the light switch, she reveals a rope bridge dividing them over a pit of fire. Harvey soon explains that it's a test of faith and that she has to get to him. Looking at a sign saying true love towards Harvey and safe road pointing the other way, she asks if the safe road arrives anywhere near him, but he explains that it dead ends in the suburbs. Clever boy.
Does the safe road come at anywhere near you?
No! I think it dead ends in the suburbs!
She then begins crossing the rope bridge slowly, but before arriving at the middle point, the center third of the bridge just collapses, all in one obvious piece. Harvey tells her to stay back as it's not worth it, but she says that it is before leaping the whole of the bridge, incredibly and incredibly unconvincingly. Harvey steadies her as she lands on the other end, and as she goes to hug Harvey, she's dismayed to discover that he's just a hologram. She eventually arrives back at the Institute, celebrating the fact that she can now proclaim that she has a true love. Drell just tells her to take her frog and go, and while Sabrina is confused that as to why Harvey's still a frog, Zelda goes on to explain that to reverse the spell, she has to kiss the frog in the scene of the original kiss. Okay, Phil. Door number three. The whole bridge thing. The most irritating thing here is this. Why is there a fucking light switch?
Don't know. I don't know why there's a light switch. And the other thing is, like you said, it kind of looked like hell or Mars or, you know, something where it's, you know, lava or some kind of, you know.
They definitely didn't break $100 bill on that fucking CGI.
Why didn't they use this for, you know, when they went skiing last week?
I don't know. I think, like, that scene looks, like, shockingly bad. Like, as good as certain things look on Sabrina the Teenage Witch, that scene looks like total shit.
It was the worst scene, one of the worst scenes I've seen probably so far. And the other thing is, like, so she steps into the door number three, mm-hmm. and then Harvey is there, like, I mean, I don't know what kind of imagery they were trying to do. It looked like a shadow of him, mm-hmm. but it was, like, it was terrible. It was like, super CGI'd, and it was just, like, someone had just thrown some intern at it, like, hey, I need you to make this tomorrow.
Also, why is Sabrina wearing a fucking ball gown when she does this?
Again, that was one of the things I was going to say. You took the words right out of my mouth, Al. here you are about to take your leap of faith. You know what? I'm going to dress up as a princess all of a sudden.
It's not even brought up. Like, she doesn't have to change before she goes in. She's not wearing it when she comes back out.
No, exactly. It's like, oh, we're going to just stick you in this princess dress, and you got to jump over this lava pit and then take off the dress.
So dumb. Also, there is not a chance in the fucking world that Sabrina would actually make that jump. Like, when you see it, it's obvious that by, like, a third of the way over the hole, she's already, like, coming down. She would fall through.
That, and I like how Harvey's about to, like, as she's jumping, Harvey's about to catch her, but his hands are too close together. So it looks like he's trying to, like, stop her from, like, coming at him.
Oh, man.
Almost.
The best part is, like, when you see her, like, jumping, like, the last third of her crossing the chasm is clearly just like her being suspended on wires and being dragged across. Like, there is no drop at all. She's just like moving across the screen.
Yes. It's like, oh, she's actually jumping and getting higher for some reason.
Like, putting this all together, this is a shockingly badly produced scene of Sabrina Teenage Witch.
It was pretty bad. Like, out of this whole episode, That was one of the things. I mean, it was dreadful.
And do you have anything else, Phil?
Nope. I think we've covered all the terrible things. Not to use something from before, but all the terrible things we've seen.
Very good. First episode you were on, actually.
That was the first episode, the terrible things episode. Yeah.
All right. Zelda gives Drell a man teenagers. But Drell just tells him to get the fuck out of there. When Sabrina asks where Hilda is, she's told that she shouldn't ask. We quickly then get a cutaway to poolside, where Zack is rubbing Hilda's shoulders as she notes that the pecan pie she's eating is even better than the cheesecake. We're soon back in Harvey's car, as Sabrina plants one big smooch on the frog, despite his slimy lips. When she does, the frog turns back into a puckering Harvey, who she quickly kisses. Sabrina says it was great, before asking if they can try it again, which they do. From the front door, Salem and Zelda comment on how cute they are, and Salem knows that he was surprised Zelda let Sabrina take such a risk by taking the true love test. She says that there was no risk, as when you're 16, it's always true love. She goes on to explain that she didn't tell Sabrina because now she thinks that this love is extra special, and we see fireworks explode for some reason over the kissing couple as the scene closes. As the credits roll, Harvey walks up to Sabrina in the halls, telling her that he doesn't have basketball practice after school and that he can drive her home if she wants. She considers not having to have stuff thrown at her on the bus and quickly agrees. He tells her he'll meet her here at 3:30 before walking off in a hopping fashion. Sabrina stops him and notes that it's a shame he doesn't have basketball practice today before a confused Harvey just hops off screen as the episode closes. Phil?
Yes, Al?
I thought one of the best things here was that scene when we see Zelda and Salem at the door.
Yep.
I think it's a gorgeous scene. Not only because of what they say, but the way it's shot.
Mm-hmm.
I think seeing them through like that marbled or that speckled window, whatever it is, and then cutting inside and seeing Salem and Zelda just holding him and them talking so sweetly about how much they care for Sabrina and how she wanted to make this extra special for her. I think that's like probably the best that this show can attain. Like when you really get that familial bond between the Spellmans and even Salem in there, and you realize that these people really care for each other and it's not just a show about, you know, teenagers doing funny things with magic, that's where the show gets really good.
Aren't they cute?
Yeah. I'm glad she passed, but I still can't believe you let her take that risk.
There was no risk. I knew she'd pass.
You did?
At 16, it's always true love.
Why didn't you tell her?
Because now she thinks it's extra special.
I agree with you. It was a very sweet scene. And, you know, you like you said, you see that they really do care for each other and care about each other.
That said, why the fuck are there fireworks? They just come out of fucking nowhere.
That's literally the last thing I wrote. Why are there fireworks as they kiss? Like, why? They're like, it's not 4th of July. There's no fireworks for Valentine's Day. I mean, why?
If I was Harvey, I'd be really fucking confused.
And then, like, during and then during that scene with the fireworks, they're like in full makeout mode.
Yeah.
And it almost looks like they're mauling each other.
Good for them.
Well, you know, it is Valentine's Day.
My last note is actually when Harvey walks off like a frog in the closing credit scene, mm-hmm. he also kind of looks like he shit himself and is trying to walk to the bathroom inconspicuously.
A little bit. It's that bent leg he had, man.
Who hasn't done that? I haven't. Definitely not. But that's the episode, Phil. You, of course, know that each episode of Sabrina's Witch Trials, we rank the episode of Sabrina Teenage Witch on the TGIF scale, the This Good I Feel scale. Phil, since you have to rate this episode of Sabrina Teenage Witch, where does it fall on that TGIF scale?
Well, unlike last week's episode, I think this one's a little bit higher up on the scale. I would probably put it at a Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
I would tend to agree with you, Phil. I think it's... Actually, you know what? I'm going to say it's even better than that. I'm going to say it's a low Family Matters, but it's a Family Matters in my book. I think everything's pretty successful, but the B-plot with Drell and Hilda, I didn't really care for. It does provide some comedy, but I don't like the disservice done to the Drell character.
Yes.
And we do have a softcore porn star, so that's going to take it down a bit.
You know what? I would agree with you. I would say a high Hanging with Mr. Cooper, a low Family Matters. That sounds like a good place for it.
Fair enough. Now, the main event, Phil, the Back of the Linen Closet Award, our episodic award for each installment's biggest fashion flop. Phil, who's getting your Back of the Linen Closet Award this episode?
Well, I think this week it's going to go to... it's going to go to Sabrina and her awful purple vest that she wore in the beginning of the show. That furry vest of hers, or that velvety vest that she was wearing.
Yep.
It was just, it was probably the worst thing on the show. Now, in saying that, I think the show actually had a lot of pretty good clothes in it, to be honest with you, Al.
I mean, for an episode of Sabrina Teenage Witch, it was not the worst, definitely. That blue kind of like suede hoodie or vest or whatever it was is pretty bad. I can't stop thinking about Harvey number 3's brown denim suit, and particularly the shoes. The shoes really bothered me. So I'm going to hang the shoes all the way in the back of the linen closet, but the whole brown denim suit from Harvey number 3 is going in that closet for me, Phil.
Well, to each their own, my friend.
All right, well, that's the episode. Phil, thank you so much for being here again.
Absolutely, always a pleasure. And
you're always
an
incredible sport and provide so much fun analysis.
Well, I try, and thank you for having me again. Hopefully, till the next episode.
Absolutely. Before we close out here on the Witch Trials, I want to tell you, the wonderful listener, that you can follow Sabrina's Witch Trials on Facebook, facebook.com/Sabrina's Witch Trials, Twitter, twitter.com/Sabrina Podcast, and on Instagram, instagram.com/Sabrina's Witch Trials. You can also follow us and listen to us on SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher, iTunes, of course, the Google Play Podcast Store, or your favorite podcatcher, all those places. And if you do really love the show, and I hope you do, because we're 17 episodes in, if you could take like a minute or two and just drop me a review in the iTunes podcast section, that would not only make my day, maybe my week, I mean, that would make me really, really happy, but that would be great for the podcast in terms of promotion. And if you do that and send me a screen grab of it, or a picture of you and your review, you standing next to your review, of course, or just of the review on like Instagram or Twitter, I will shout you out.
Ooh.
On the next Sabrina's Witch Trials.
Wow.
Hey, I got to show appreciation here too. So,
and if you're from Harry's.com, please give us a call.
Give me money. Yeah, give me money. But yes, all those places you can follow, listen to, like, subscribe, all that stuff. And just thank you everybody for listening to Sabrina's Witch Trials, because it's a fun thing I get to do. And if people are enjoying it, all the better. Thank you again, Phil, for being around. Next episode will be Sweet Charity, which is actually a really fun episode. We get Libby back finally, and maybe one of the better, like, Libby the Bitch episodes. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But until then, I want to say thank you to everybody for listening one last time, and we will see you in the other realm.
Who could that be?
I'm not expecting company. Are you?
It's Harvey, and I look like laundry!